Welcome to Theatre Voice. I'm talking to actor and writer Asif Khan, whose debut play Combustion is currently on tour in the UK. Welcome to Theatre Voice, Asif.
Thanks for talking to me.
Well, your play Combustion is being heralded as an important and necessary play. It's an insightful look at the issues facing young Muslim, mostly men, today. Can you tell us a little bit about the play, the gestation, and then we can talk a little bit more about the characters and the story?
Sure. So the play is a comedy drama set in Bradford, which is my hometown where I was born and brought up. It revolves around a crime committed by a group of Muslim men within the city, which kind of ignites the tension in the town, and particularly like a backlash towards the Muslim community. And you've got a right-wing group coming up to do a protest on the day of Eid. And that's really where the play starts. And in the centre of it, the main kind of central voice is a 20-year-old student, university student called Samina, who is kind of like a very fiery, intelligent, brave female character who's trying to kind of tackle the problems within the city and try and create a bit of peace again by a group she's formed called Bradford for Peace.
But really, that's the kind of bigger picture story. But in essence, the play begins in a garage shop,
yeah,
which is run by a young man called Shaz.
Yes.
And
yeah,
he has two other young guys working for him, and Samina is his sister.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm just interested in terms of, in Shaz's mouth, it seems to me that you might have put in certain thoughts that you think about, which is the perceptions of young Muslim men. You know, he talks about everybody thinks we're terrorists.
Yeah,
and,
yeah, yeah.
And I'm sick of having to convince non-Muslims I'm not a terrorist. And then there is another bit as well where he talks to say, where somebody says, I'm embarrassed to say I'm Muslim these days.
Yeah, that's Samina. Yeah,
that's
yeah,
Samina,
yeah,
the sister.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, a lot of it is, you know, not only my feelings of being a British Muslim, but also people I know, family members, friends. And it's kind of like the experience of British Muslim right now with the whole lot of issues that are going on at the moment, and what it means to be British and Muslim. But yeah, the play starts essentially with Samina's older brother, Shaz, who runs a mechanics garage in Bradford. And so a lot of the scenes take place within this garage. He's got two friends called Ali and Fessel. And then it opens with a bit of banter about, you know, banter about life, work, and this protest from the English Defence, who are coming up on the day of Eid to make their voices heard.
So it's interesting. I mean, I loved the banter between the three guys. I was trying to figure out whether that was a typically Bradfordian voice, if you like. You know, it's a bit of English mixed with a bit of Urdu, but even the words are a bit colloquial. You know, I mean, just talk me through a little bit about how you approach the writing in terms of the authenticity of the voice. Is it something that, you know about, you're familiar with?
Yeah, it's something I'm completely familiar with. You know, is voices, characters I've seen throughout my life, and they're working class characters. You know, they work in a garage, and I wanted it to be like an environment where the audience are sitting in and kind of like spying in, like a fly on the wall of this world with these boys, and they can talk about how they feel about being Muslim and British, talk about women, talk about anything they want, and it's a private conversation between three close friends.
But how do you feel about Muslim in Britain like today? I mean, how do you feel about it, generally speaking? Because you share certain kind of familiarity with, let's say, your characters, in the sense of you all from Bradford and so on.
How do I feel? I mean, that's a huge conversation. But I think it's just, I mean, a lot of that question I tackled within the play. Personally, you know, I think there are issues within our community, my own community, which, you know, I feel like we need to address and kind of sort out. But then on the other side, you've got I feel like there's a great deal of misrepresentation, Islamophobia in the media, that is not helping matters. And there are people in positions where, you know, positions of power and influence who are not, I feel like I'm not really helping the situation and basically causing more of a divide.
Okay, let's just talk a little bit more about the play, you know, like the characters. So it's set in a garage. The set is like a garage set, you know, you've got like a net thing and tools hanging down and broken down bits of sofas from the cars and everything like that.
Yes.
It's directed by Nonna Shepherd, who is like an ex-tutor of yours from your acting...
Yeah, she's an ex-teacher from RADA, but she directs freelance as
She
well.
Does a lot of freelance directing, and you've got these three friends. It's nearly the last days of Ramzan, Rozas, the fasting. You know, I get this sense of like heat and tension in watching it at the Arcola, where I saw it, this really small, intimate space. And you can feel that these three guys are, you know, like something's gonna... There's a bit of tension. So, yes, they have a banter between each other. The other two characters are Faisal and Ali, and Faisal is the slightly easygoing, who they consider to be slightly a bit more silly, or I don't want to use the word, but I will use it, apologies, thick, you know, people think. And Ali is your geezer with the attitude, flirting with Shaz's sister, his boss's sister, his friends. And like I said, we are nearly hitting Eid, and I mean, I feel it's kind of weird because we are in that same environment where now it's literally, we're heading towards Eid.
Yeah, it's kind of a bit of a coincidence because the final night at the Arcola Theatre in London on Saturday is the final, possibly the final night of Ramadan, which is the first scene of the play.
Yes, and that is the 24th of June, the final night at the Arcola. But I'm just asking, like, you yourself, you observe Ramzan, don't you?
Yeah,
you have been fasting and everything like that.
Fasting,
so why is it so important? You know, like, what is it, like a declaration of faith? Why do you have your characters do it? Is it something people feel they have to do? In terms of your character, how do you feel, like, internally when you're doing that fasting? You know, I'm just trying to equate it to the three characters in the play, because they talk about it, and then they go to the prayers at the mosque at the end of the night. You know, they're waiting for Eid so that life can get back to normal, let's say, inverted commas, you know?
Yeah, I just wanted to give that kind of... I mean, the play opens with them, you know, the boys breaking their fast. And a lot of people just haven't seen that, you know. It's just, you know, what you do, you know, traditionally with dates and a bit of water, and these boys are just opening their fast in the garage. And that's where how the play opens. It's kind of like, within the Muslim community, kind of it's like a... you know, we know the routine, you know...
No, but is it hard to keep a fast?
It's hard to keep a fast in this weather,
Yes, because
particularly I'm not fasting today, but
it's,
you know, I have been in the hot weather. It's been, you've got to abstain from, like, food and water from daylight hours, basically. You eat at sunset, and the sunset at the moment is around 9:20 in the evening here in London. So,
and when is sunrise then? Like the
sunrise, so it's about, you basically, the Siri time, which is... or what is referred to, which is the breakfast before you begin your fast, is very early, actually. It's around 2:45, 3 o'clock in the morning, which is like a couple of hours before sunset. So if you want to eat or drink, you eat until that point, and then stay away from it. But mainly, I think it was just the heat, the thirst, general tiredness, which kind of you get after 30 days of doing it. But I just remember going back to the other question about the language of the boys as well. You know, you asked about the Punjabi and
the Urdu, Urdu words.
Yeah, that's very kind of Bradford. So I wanted to kind of, I kind of heard the voices. I didn't want to kind of censor them in any way. I kind of heard the character speaking in my mind and just basically wrote that down. And sometimes, I mean, not everybody's the same, but people do use Punjabi words, Urdu words, Arabic words. You know, there's a lot of vocabulary which is in the Muslim mouth. For example, inshallah, alhamdulillah, those kind of things, mashallah, you know, which I said quite a lot. So, I've, you know, they're in the play, people use those types of words. And you know, if I just wanted to make it authentic to what I hear in Bradford.
Okay, so another aspect of the interesting relationship in your play is the relationship of Samina, the sister, who is interested in having a piece for Bradford, who strikes up a rapport, if one can say, with Andy, who is an English Defence League, like a fascist organisation. Why did you want to explore that side of things? You know, like, why do you want to explore the politics from both sides? And how did you go about doing that? Why do you feel it was important to have it in the play?
Well, when I was researching, I watched a lot of Tommy Robinson, the EDL, and, you know, with an open mind, you know, they were saying, you know, there's a lot of negative things that about Muslims and Islam, but I was like, you know, I wanted to kind of hear their point of view. And I wanted to give the Andy character, not to give too much away, a bit of a, you know, I didn't just want to make him a racist. I wanted to give him personal reasons for why he believes what he believes.
But we can talk about it. I mean, you know, it's a bit of a spoiler alert, but Theatre Voice is a forum to discuss play in a bigger way.
So, I mean, so Andy's basically part of this English Defence group. And he's got his own personal reasons behind thinking the way he does. His daughter is a convert to Islam. He previously ran a halal meat shop in Bradford. He says in the play that he's read the Quran in English translation. So he himself thinks he's an expert on Islam. And so that's where he's coming from. One of the bits of footage I saw when I was researching was, I think it was a Question Time type program on TV, and Tommy Robinson was there, and someone speaking on the Muslim community was there, and it was kind of a discussion show, and there was a lot of arguments about various issues which are explored in Combustion, but at the end the Muslim imam said to Tommy Robinson, "I want to invite you to my house, come to my house, meet my family, have dinner at my house." And he was basically just trying to say, you know, let's put those differences to one side. Come and meet me, a Muslim. Meet my family who are Muslims. And then maybe you might have a different perspective about, you know, your thoughts. And that's where I kind of thought, I want Samina, who set up this Bradford for Peace group, to go, look, this guy, I can see more than just a racist. And I want to bring him to my group. I want to change his views. So that's where it kind of the thought of that started. But I thought, you know, the opposite, like you've got a 50-year-old male, white male, and you've got a young 20-year-old Muslim Pakistani British female. And it was just two completely different people. But they've got things in common because they're both trying to tackle the same causes of sexual exploitation of young girls, extremism. They're both trying to really tackle the same things, and they have got things in common, but they have got a lot of differences as well. And so I thought it was interesting to kind of explore that relationship.
So in your play, those two come together, but I was just wondering, did Tommy Robinson and the imam, did they meet? Do you know about that?
Did they meet?
Yeah.
I think there was a documentary, actually. Called When Tommy Met Mo.
I see. Okay.
I think it was on a few years ago. And again, you know, like, I mean, a lot of the kind of inspiration for the Andy character was from Tommy Robinson. It was too simple to make him just a racist and, you know, a thug. And he himself doesn't class himself as that. The character doesn't class himself as that. He sees himself as an intelligent person who's knowledgeable about Islam. But it was difficult also within this topic to, as a writer, to kind of veer off in so many different tangents because it's just a massive topic, and you can go on to talk about so many different things. So I wanted to keep it, make sure it was streamlined. So it was about, you know, the main thrust of the story is about this young girl who's been groomed and the after effects of that on the community in Bradford.
Yeah, that is very interesting because in a way that's the kind of backdrop of the stories of the three characters, but it's always kind of within the story.
Yes.
And I have to say that when I watched the show, I was very surprised when one of your characters, one of the three men, the three Bradford boys, guys, friends together, turns out to be a perpetrator.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's sort of almost underplayed in that storyline. And why was that important to you in that way to put that in?
Yeah. I think, look, I mean, as a Muslim, you know, people would probably firstly assume that I would write a pro-Muslim play, you know, and but you can't write, initially, you can't write five characters, all good Muslims, nothing happens, you know. And at the end of the day, there are bad people, criminals in every community, you know, and there are people within the Muslim community doing bad things. And I've regularly looked at a newspaper or, a picture or a photograph of someone who looks like me, who shares the same faith as me, who's committed a disgusting, sickening crime. And then some reason I am then attached to that crime because I look the same as that man, and I share the same faith. So I in the play I wanted to make sure the characters are pushed to the highest degree in terms of someone they know, someone who is close to them.
Because they talk about it. They talk about it in the context of their general conversations without realizing that. One of the three friends.
Yeah, and I wanted to have that kind of like, in order to have the, you know, the reaction to it, you have to have that in the play so you can react to it. I needed to have the more extreme views at some points in the play to be able to challenge those views from the Muslim community. Because Muslims are not, the Anjum Chowdhury's are given presence on stage and, people who have extreme views, which are constantly given the opportunity to, you know, make their voices heard. Everyday Muslims do not agree with those people and what the rhetoric they come out with and things they come out with. We just want to live a normal, peaceful life, and we're concerned about normal problems, you know, marriage, getting a house, getting more, you know, children, going on holiday, just regular television. We're just living normal lives. And kind of that's not being heard. So, and also, you know, there's a lot constantly being said about Muslims not speaking up against these issues, and there are. In order to be able to challenge some of those views on Islam, I needed to have, firstly, that voice in the play for it to be there to be challenged by some of the characters.
Of course, there's another thing that we must discuss in the play, which you do also perhaps challenge or is challenging, is the relationship of Samina with her brother Shaz, he's called.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems really quite incongruous that this is an intelligent, articulate woman who's out demonstrating in the street, and yet at home she has to defer to her brother.
Mm.
And if he says, "You cannot go out tonight because I'm worried there might be a protest on the street," in theory, she has to accept.
Yes.
I mean, how do you justify writing this in that way?
The only thing I can say about that is that is unfortunately a case of a lot of things I've seen and my experience. I didn't try to choose to write it that way. I mean, that's exactly what the experience is, and sometimes that kind of sometimes there is a bit of misogyny there, you know, and. In the play, the brother, even though he's protective and I've written him to be 30 and Samina's 20, Samina's lost her dad, so he's become the kind of the father figure who looks after the mum, the business, he pays for Samina to go to university. There are other sides to his character. There is a lot of love there between the brother and sister. There's also respect from Samina to her older brother. that he has been, you know, he has looked after them since their father's death. But within the play, he is the only person, and they're actually not even him, who can kind of stop Samina doing what she wants to do. And if you see within the play, she doesn't listen to him. She goes against him. She still goes and sees this member of the English defence. She still sneaks out of the house. But there's a certain amount of respect that she does give to her brother. And also, I mean, a reason I will put that in the play as well is because, you know, for any Muslim people within, you know, I mean, this is not everyone. It's really hard to kind of like, I mean, I'm talking generally here. You know, there are cases where this is not a problem. But I also wanted to challenge my own community in some ways, you know, about this kind of, these traditions and the way, basically, the men treat women. But I mean, within the play, Shaz does, you know, move, change. The final scene, he ends up coming to one of her setups where she's making a speech, and he's there in the audience.
So he goes through his own journey.
He goes through his own journey, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's understandable. I mean, I think he kind of, in the play, he kind of underestimates how intelligent his sister is, what she's trying to achieve by doing this, and all he's thinking is, one, she's going to damage my family reputation, potentially going to damage my relationship with my fiancé and my in-laws, future in-laws. And also, it's really dangerous outside, and there's a lot of people getting attacked for being Muslim, particularly women wearing headscarves, and he doesn't want her to be one of them.
Yes, there's a lot in this place, and as I said, that the show is been at the Arcola in London, and it's touring. And has it been on? It's going to be on in Bradford, right? Your home city.
Yeah.
Have people seen it there or not?
Not yet, but no. It's going to be there at the Bradford Literature Festival, Alhambra Studio, on July the 7th, just for one performance. I mean, I'd like more, but we'll see about next year. But just one. I desperately wanted to make sure that the play comes to Bradford. You know, it represents them, and I want particularly the Muslim community there to come and watch it as well, you know.
So tell me about your own background. You're from Bradford itself. How did you get involved in acting, and how did that develop into you now writing, really?
Yeah, so I was kind of born and brought up in a place called Shipley in Bradford, and I did a little bit at school and kind of enjoyed doing it, but when I went to University of Bradford, before I went to RADA, there was really, really good university theatre on the campus. It was also produced, put on professional work as well. But there was a university theatre group, and I got involved in that. I did a play each term. Went to every single workshop I could.
But you didn't study it as your key subject?
At university, no. I did a degree, a BSc called Electronic Imaging and Media Communications.
Right.
Then after that I went to drama school for 3 years. But that was that experience of being in that theatre, really kind of made me realise that is definitely, I wanted to be an actor.
So, but were you also with the Asian Theatre School when you
younger? After that, there was a group I joined called Asian Theatre School, which was set up by Red Ladder Theatre Company, and then run by Madani Yunus, who's artistic director of the Bush Theatre, that was the first time I kind of realised, oh, there's lots more Asian people within Bradford who are into the arts like me. And
was that while you were at university or before?
That was during university as well.
I see, okay,
yeah.
Right.
And then we kind of devised plays together about various issues, like the Bradford riots, one of them was about. And then we performed them in at Theatre in the Mill in Bradford. That's the name of the theatre on the university campus, by the way. And the West Yorkshire Playhouse, and even the Contact Theatre in Manchester.
Okay, so that's sort of led you on to becoming a performer.
Yes.
And then what was the transition that made you feel that you really must become a writer as well as a performer?
I think in my head I always thought, you know, I'd like to write. And I dabbled in it. You know, I wrote little monologues and audition speeches and things like that. I did write a little kind of 15-minute piece with the Asian Theatre School. But I always thought, you know, I'd like to write a full play at some point. And I started writing this mainly because I felt as a kind of a British Muslim, I felt like my voice wasn't represented. And I kind of wanted to create a play which represents me and a lot of like everyday British Muslims, set in my hometown, with a lot of humour. You know, as an actor, I played a lot of comedy, so I wanted to kind of bring that in. I thought it was important as well to kind of balance it with the serious themes. And then just from writing that play, it's just something I really enjoyed doing. I really enjoyed the process of being a writer in the rehearsal room for the first time.
How long has it taken you to write this?
I wrote a first draft, a really bad first draft, in about a month, which was quite different from what it is right now. And then I got it into some kind of similar form to what it is now about a year later. And there was a reading at the Arcola Theatre, a rehearsed reading, a script in hand performance. I think it was 2014. It's taken 2-3 years to get it onto the stage. It's co-produced by Tara Arts.
I see. But the play wasn't commissioned by them.
No, I mean, I'd written the play.
You just wrote it writer.
I wrote it and completed it, and then it was part of the Play Rot festival at the Arcola Theatre. It was of new writing for that week. And from then, Tara came to watch and showed a bit of interest, and I like to work with them as well. So we teamed together to try and get this play on.
So, but before that, I mean, like earlier this year, you've been in The Hypocrite with the RSE and Hal Trock and everything like that. So you're doing these really big things one moment, and then the next moment you're writing and co-producing. You've set up your own company, is that right, called AIK Productions?
Yes.
Yeah, what does the I stand for in AIK?
My middle name, Iqbal.
Right, okay. And this is the second, Combustion is your second production that you've produced.
Yes.
But you had the first one, which was like Love Bombs and Apples.
Yes, yeah.
Which I understand is going to go to Edinburgh this year.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. So do you want to tell me a little bit about why that initial play? Was it just an opportunity for you as an actor to play four different roles?
Yeah, or? I mean, initially that play, like, we, you know, it started off with a coffee with Hassan at Covent Garden. And
Hassan is?
Hassan Abdulrazak, who's the writer. Right. Playwright of Love Bombs and Apples. He wrote a little bit of the start of it for my RADA showcase in my third year.
So you have to explain what there is. There are four characters.
Yeah, so there's four. I mean, Love Bombs and Apples is about four different men from different parts of the world who all experience a moment of revelation, and it's essentially very comic, very political, deals with a lot of themes, sensitive themes. But through humour, and like the first character is a Palestinian actor, the second character is a Pakistani writer, third character is a youth from Bradford, and the fourth character is a Jewish New Yorker, and in this play I played all of them, that started with me kind of approaching Hassan and saying, and we had the first. The first piece, which I initially wanted to create that into a full piece about this Palestinian actor, just a really hilarious bit of writing about this actor who plays Hamlet in Ramallah, and then meets this English girl, and they go.
He's just trying to get laid.
Basically, he's just trying to get laid, and he ends up going to the wall, where he has a confrontation with some Israeli soldiers. But it's just so funny. I mean, I just love I love his writing. It's just so political, but then it's just so humorous at the same time. But then Hassan pulled out a lot of two other pieces, which was about this novelist who wants to write this novel, which the police think is a terror manual, so he ends up going to prison. But he's obsessed in prison, he's writing this, he wants to be a famous writer. And then the third one originally was set in London, it was a Londoner, and it was about the London riots. But we changed it to a Bradfordian Muslim character.
Is that the one about the Apple?
The Apple. He's obsessed with the Apple store. He's got a conspiracy theory about Apple and ISIS and how they kind of lure young men into their world. Again, it's just another bit of hilarious bit of writing. Explores a lot of like themes which are really kind of right now. And then the fourth one is set in New York. It's about a young man called Isaac, who has a Jewish girlfriend who's very pro-Palestinian. His dad works for AIPAC, which is the American Israel Public Affairs Committee, and pro-Zionist, and he's kind of caught between the conflict between the two, his girlfriend and his dad. And it kind of really explores the Israel-Palestine conflict from the Jewish perspective. So it's a massive, massive piece. It's probably the most challenging thing I've done as an actor. 90 minutes on the stage with no interval, just me. But we did a good month at the Arc Hall of Theatre and a tour. And this August, we're taking it up to Edinburgh Festival Summer Hall. Plays for 4 weeks.
Well, Theatre Voice, we did do an interview with Hassan Abdul Razak last year, so it's on the site in case people want to hear it.
Okay, great, yeah. Please do.
So I'm just asking you, so in terms of your own career path, let's say,
yes.
You know, is this something that you've opted to do? You've been an actor, you know, as I said, you've acted in the RSC, Hull Truck, The Hypocrite, you've acted in Tara Productions, you've acted with Tamasha, and now you've decided to create your own work as a writer and a performer. I mean, do you feel that this is like your normal pathway, or is this a conscious career decision that you've made?
No, I mean, I've not tried to make a particular decision really about where I wanted to do, and I want to write plays, I want to write, I want to also act, because that's where I started, and that's where I feel my main strength is. But I've not consciously tried to decide where I want to go, and I think I just want to do a bit of both. I think the ability to, as an artist, to be able to put on your own stories and your own work is something that kind of I've learned over the last few years, how to get a play on, how to apply to the Arts Council, how to produce a play. It just gives you a bit more power as an artist to be able to go, you know what, I like this play, or I've written this story, I've got this story, I want to get this story on the stage. How do I do it? And that's kind of what I've learned over the last 2-3 years.
So that's been the impetus for you. You want to tell these stories.
Yeah, totally. And I've got like, I want to create my own stuff. I've got lots of things I want to say as well about the world. Lots of stories I feel are unheard, characters which are unheard. You know, there's a real buzz about being able to do your own work as well, about putting your own work out there, starting from the process right from the beginning, from the, you know, genesis of the idea. You know, as an actor, sometimes you audition, you start on the first day of rehearsal, and the rehearsal, the script is already formed, you're presented with a set model, you know. With this, with Love Bombs and Apples and this, you know, and Combustion, you know, I was in the process from the beginning, so... You know,
you enjoyed all that.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. Helping create that, working with designer Miller Sanders, who worked on both, James Hesford, who did the music on both, and the directors I've worked with, and just like, you know, it's just a real thrill to be able to kind of go, like, for example, with Combustion, here's a play I've written, and then seeing what Miller can bring in terms of her design. What Nona Shepherd can bring in terms of her direction, what James comes up with in terms of the music. I love the fact that you've got these people who are really good at what they do, all bringing their individual...
So they're kind of interpreting your story in a different way.
Yeah, totally.
Kind of thing,
and just bringing their kind of like artistic expertise to the project. And then the actors kind of exploring the rehearsal room and, it's just a real thrill to watch that.
So when you finish performing in Edinburgh, what's next? I mean, this play has got a lot of attention.
Yeah.
And are you getting phone calls from The National or anything like that too?
I like to get a phone call from The National. But I've been in touch with people about putting it on next year. I mean, talks about writing into a screenplay.
It's been nominated for some Offie Awards, right?
Yeah.
Which is like Off West End Theatre
Awards. So,
and you've been... noticed by the BBC as one of their 100 top talented names to watch out for. Is that all scary, or does it make you feel that somebody's listening to you, or do you just think...
No, it's quite exciting that, you know, it's like, yeah, someone's listening, someone's taking note. of course, it's great. And I like, I mean, I just, it just helps get your work on, helps get your work out there.
So are you writing anything next?
Yeah, I'm working on a few other things, a couple of commissions and another full-length piece.
But you're not allowed to say more than that, is
that
right?
I can't say much more on that. But it's they're all comic, they're all exploring kind of themes that I'd like to explore. I like comedy, and I like to challenge people through characters, and through, you know, hopefully characters that people can empathise with, feel for. Yeah.
Okay, Asif Khan, thank you so much for talking to Theatre Voice, and look forward to hearing more about you in the future.
Thanks very much.